بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعاني، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. Inshallah, today, tonight, and maybe tomorrow, I want to open up a certain dimension of dua and what dua is, what it entails, and what its prerequisites are. Because usually it's a very superficial understanding we have of dua. And maybe for these coming nights, I thought maybe it's good to share, inshallah, with you. In chapter 2, verse 186, the Quran reads, "And when my servants," Allah is saying this, "when my servants ask you, O Messenger, concerning me, Allah, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, verily I am near, أُجِيبُ, I answer, I respond to, دَعَوَةَ الدَّعَ, the supplication of the supplicator, or the invocation of the invoker, or the call of the caller." All these are synonymous. I may use them interchangeably. "But I, Allah, will respond to the call of the caller, إِذَا دَعَانِي, when he calls me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, so let them respond to me, and let them believe in me, so that they acquire rectitude, so that they be properly guided." In this verse of the Holy Quran, the first person singular, me, that Allah is using in relation to himself, we see in this verse 7 times. And in this sense, it's very unique amongst the verses of the Quran where Allah uses the first person singular. I do this, me, my. And this shows that dua, which is the subject matter of this verse, has a lot of importance. When it comes to dua, you go to Allah. 7 times he's mentioning it. I will respond. Come to me. If they ask concerning me, when they ask concerning me, and so on and so forth. Now, that part of the verse I want to dissect tonight, inshallah, is when Allah says, "Ujibu da'wata da'," that I will respond to the call of the caller. I will respond to the supplication of the supplicator, for I will respond to the invocation of the invoker. This is used in the absolute sense here, and this is very important. The verse on dua, Allah is using in the absolute sense and say that I will respond. When the supplicator supplicates, I will respond. He's using this in the absolute sense. If are you a caller? Are you a supplicator? Do you invoke Allah? If yes, Allah will respond. It's a divine promise. Allah doesn't say that I shall respond to the supplication of believers. It's not said. Allah doesn't say, I shall respond to the supplication of the Shias. No. He doesn't say, I shall respond to the supplication of the Imams. He doesn't say, I shall respond to the supplication of the Mukhlis people, the sincere people. Also, he doesn't say, I shall not respond to the disbelievers, for example. Look, it's a very important point, this. He doesn't say, I shall not respond to the Sunnis, for example. These are just examples I'm giving. None of this is said. An absolute clause is given. The supplication of one who supplicates, the call of one who calls upon Allah. If you are a caller, if you qualify as a supplicator, as an invoker, as a caller, that's enough. Allah will respond definitively. So, one must be a caller. In Arabic, here in this verse, da'i is one who calls, one who supplicates, one who invokes. This is the only thing that is mentioned here. If you're a caller, Allah will respond to you without doubt. That which you're calling for, asking for, you'll be given. Definitely. It's a divine promise. Not if you're a Sunni, a Shia, a believer, a disbeliever. No, no, no. If you're a caller, if you are da'i, it's a definite. So the next question is, what does it mean to be an honest, true caller? This has to be established now, because the equation given is an important equation. We do a lot of du'as every day, on particular nights more than other nights. And then we don't get what we want, and then we're surprised. And then we go in the wrong direction. Then we go and ask people, what do we do? And the people gives us certain prescriptions and makes you go even in a more wrong direction. What does it mean to be a true caller, a true supplicator? The answer that is given is that one's inner nature, one's inner substance, one's thought, or one's fitra, the way we described fitra in the early sessions during the Holy Month, but I'll call it the inner nature or inner thought or substance. One's inner nature has to be the source and origin and cause to one's supplications. I.e., there has to be a compatibility between one's inner nature and that which one is supplicating. In other words, to be a caller, there has to be a compatibility between the heart and the tongue. That compatibility is important. So, the heart, for example, one's inner nature, one's substance, wants, desires, asks for X thing, whatever X is. And then the tongue supplicates before Allah and wants that X thing. Yes, this person is a true caller. Now, there are other things too. As we go, I'll add them to this equation. But this compatibility is important. If there's an incompatibility between the heart and what is verbally said, you're not a true caller. Sometimes you may even say something not knowing that it is not on a par with your inner nature. this can lead to very complicated scenarios. This can lead to very delicate questions, dilemmas. Inshallah, with time, we'll answer them, slowly, slowly. I just want to give you the general principles for now, and then we'll get to them in later stages. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's in the Holy Quran, He's classifying all of man's true inner needs, the needs of one's inner nature, all those true needs that one's nature requires, Allah has called those needs as asking. They are a form of asking, su'al. Even if one doesn't mention them verbally, or one is not even able to enumerate them all, the fact that there are needs in one's inner nature, it means one's tongue of the heart is in need and expressing need. In chapter 14, verse 34, it's one of those very, very difficult verses of the Holy Quran. It can lead to very deep understandings and interpretations of many things. وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُ. And Allah has brought for you all that you have asked of Him. Whatever you've asked from Allah, whatever, everything that you've asked from Allah, He's brought for you. This shows this asking is a function of the heart. Otherwise, there are many things we have not asked by the tongue, but we're given them. But that which is our inner need, whatever it is, Allah will give. Whatever your thought dictates, whatever the substance of you dictates, you'll be brought forth. It'll be brought forth. It's a definite. You may not verbally express it. You may not even be mentally aware of it. But your tabi'a, your substance, your inner nature, the tongue of your fitrah, the tongue of your heart, is asking for it moment to moment. And that's why you have many blessings, even though you've never asked for it, verbally, mentally. But if a tongue utters that which is not on a par with one's inner needs, one is not a caller in the real sense, because of that incompatibility. So, one is a da'i, a caller, or sa'il, one who asks, if they perceive their neediness with respect to X, Y, or Z, whatever, even if they don't verbally utter their needs, verbally or even mentally be aware of them. Otherwise, the universal equation is in chapter 55, verse 29, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, يَسْأَلُهُ. يَسْأَلُهُ السُّؤَال comes from the same root. They are asking Allah. What is asking them? Why did we hear it? So their inner nature is asking Allah to give them their needs. Everything, humans and non-humans. So, supplications that we do, if it's based on and springs from those inner needs of me, of you, each one for themselves, one becomes a true caller. And therefore, if one's dua is not accepted, one is missing one of two things according to this verse. If a dua is not accepted, you're missing one of two things, and this verse explains that. One is that you're not a true caller. The dua is not a true dua. There's no compatibility with one's inner nature and one's true needs. Those true needs vary from person to person. Someone may pray for a house, for example, and they utter with their tongue, "Oh Allah, give me a house, give me money, give me a certificate." But in reality, it may not be a house that one's inner nature is asking for. And therefore, if this incompatibility arises, the dua isn't a dua. And you're not a da'i. You're not a true caller. And therefore, there'll be no ijaba. Because maybe your inner nature is asking not for a house, not for money, not for a stick. It's asking for something else. It may be for inner peace, for something else. And then you, the caller, you err in relation to what is my need. You utter something which is totally incompatible with what your true essence wants and is asking for. That which is requested by the tongue, if not requested by the heart beforehand, that's not a true dua, and you are not a true caller. One or two examples here. Sometimes someone doesn't know that one's call, one's supplication is impossible for it to happen. And out of ignorance, they ask for this particular thing. That's not a true dua. One is just wasting one's time. Therefore, this shows that with dua, there's a rational element to it too. You have to think rationally in your duas, so you eliminate these kind of deviations which lead to you not being a da'i from step one, even when you do hours of praying, hours of supplicating. It may be void. Sometimes one doesn't know about the surrounding truth of a certain matter, the surrounding circumstances of a certain matter, that had he or she known, they would never have done the dua. But they don't know. And out of ignorance, they pray for that certain thing. But they'll never get it, because they're not a da'i. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'. And they'll respond to the call of the caller, but the true caller, that's not a true caller. One can think of a lot of scenarios. I'm trying to refrain from going into too many examples, because sometimes it can get a bit difficult. And then the next question is, when should one pray? When should one do dua? When should one call upon Allah? Where should one call upon Allah? What should one call upon Allah? When, where, what? Here, the verse says nothing about what to say, where to say it, and when to say it. The verse was absolute. Time, place, content, no. You be a caller, you be a da'i, that's it. Allah will reply. It doesn't matter who you are. You just be a caller. You be a caller, Allah will reply. Definitively. Doesn't matter when, what, where. The verse says nothing. And this shows that when and where and what you say, where you say it, where you say it, when you say it, what you say, these are formalities. These are just a conduit to a higher truth. These are just the means, it's not the ends. We are drowned in these means. We're drowned in these means. And it's these means, since we're drowned and forgetting the true cause, it causes a lot of spiritual problems. I don't want to enter those right now. But these are formalities. It's a means to something more important. It's not primary. There's only one prerequisite here. Only one prerequisite. Instead of when, where, and what, أجيبُ دعوةَ الدعوة. I'll reply, I'll answer, I'll respond, Allah says, to the call of the caller, إذا دعاني. When he calls me. This is another added dimension now. Do you want your dua to be answered? Assuming you are a true da'i, which was step one, there's one other clause. But this clause is born out from the first. They're not two separate prerequisites. إِذَا دَعَانِي. When he calls me, Allah. Not other than me. Not only verbally, even when the heart is occupying with other than Allah. When you have hope towards other than Allah. When the heart is preoccupied with many causes of the world, making you think that these causes are independent and these causes are helping you. No, إِذَا دَعَانِي. When he calls me, not other than me. He can't be attentive to other than me. He can't have hope towards other than me. Chapter 33, verse 4. مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ. Allah hasn't assigned for any one person two hearts within them. You can't have two sources of attention. One Allah and one the dunya. One Allah and one other than Allah. No. We all have one heart. And we don't mean the physical heart here. Just in case someone is born with two hearts or something. We only have one heart. You can only be attentive to one source. It's either Allah or it's other than Allah. If you want your du'as to be accepted, إِذَا دَعَانِي. When he calls me, not when he's preoccupied with other than me. No, that's not a dua. That won't be accepted. So one has to be detached from other than Allah. We spoke about detachment in the first half. To some degree, we have to come back to it, inshallah. And we will, in three or four nights' time. Going a bit deeper. One has to be detached from other than Allah so that إِذَا دَعَانِي applies. That he calls me. You see the verse, how many me's it had. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. When my servant asks you, O messenger, my servant. This عِبَاد abd, that's very important too. Why the word abd is used. It doesn't say you're ayyuhan nas. It doesn't say the word nas isn't used. You have to be abd. It's a key to how you can call only Allah. Anni, concerning me. Fa'inni, verily I am near. Ujibu means I respond to the call of the caller. when he calls me, that are me. So, it's possible that the dua is a real one. And therefore one is a da'i, one is a caller. But one is calling Allah only verbally. Because by that I mean, when he's calling Allah, yes, the compatibility is there. He or she is a da'i. But the problem is the heart is preoccupied with worldly causes, with worldly imaginations. If I do this, this will happen, and if I do that, that will happen. These kind of wahmiyat, the worldly causes, the heart is preoccupied here. Recalling only Allah is a function of the heart. But if other than Allah is ascribed, no. That ujibo will not arise. Now this detachment, there are two types. One is out of compulsion, one is out of one's own will. Sometimes some people, they detach from the worldly causes and they only recall Allah, but it was done out of necessity. For example, they're drowning or the plane is crashing and all avenues of help in a forceful way, not that they chose this, all avenues of help are blocked before them. And really there is no helper, and they've acknowledged this. Deep down they call upon Allah, and Allah will reply, because they've truly detached from all else. When they say, oh God, whoever they are, not Muslim, non-Muslim, Shia, so whatever, because they are da'i and they've detached from all else. And they say, oh God, Allah replies to them. But this kind of detachment comes and goes very easily. After a period of time when they're saved from that, whatever the disaster was, over a period of time, then they forget. The heart will return to its previous ways. Once someone came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and said that, I want to see Allah. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, tie his hands and feet. They tied it. And then he said, throw him in the river. I mean, this is not for you to do at home or anything. This is the Imam, he knows what he's doing. The person fell in the river and his hands and feet were tied. He kept on calling people to help. The Imam said, no, not yet. And then when he was really about to drown and everything, he said, oh Allah. The Imam said, bring him out. When he was brought out, he said, have you seen him? The man said yes, because that true fitrah became totally unveiled. The heart is veiled through the worldly causes, becomes preoccupied with it. Once all those are eliminated, the heart sees Allah. The heart sees Allah. And that kind of presence is something very important to acquire. However, this was, and we have examples in the Holy Quran when people are about to drown in the ocean, then they call upon Allah. That calling isn't academic. They're really seeing Allah when they're calling Him. But then they return, they easily return in their old ways. So that's not the best way for detachment. But the other way is via suluk, wayfaring, spiritual wayfaring. Getting closer to Allah, where one detaches from all worldly causes. Not that they're detaching from the dunya. The dunya is good. Whatever is a creation is good. No one is saying the dunya is bad. However, it's how how you see the dunya. No one is saying don't go to the doctor, don't go to the grocers, don't go to school to be educated by the teacher, don't use the alarm clock to wake up, or don't do a number of other things using worldly causes. No. Use all these causes in the dunya, but we're ordered not to deem these different causes as independent. And that's where we fall. When we thank the doctor for curing us, we see the doctor as the cure. We thank the teacher, and we have to thank the teacher, but we see the teacher as giving us knowledge. The alarm clock is waking us up. The security alarm is protecting the car. The grocer is giving us the food. You see, we're deeming all these as independent agents, whereas Allah is the curer, the teacher, the sustainer of food, the protector of car, and so on and so forth. This is what detachment entails. This has to be done every day with practice. And over a period of time, then you detach from the worldly causes, and then idha da'ani applies. So whenever you call upon Allah, when you call as a caller, when you supplicate as a supplicator, whilst detached from all these worldly causes, you're calling Him alone, because you see Him alone as the one true, independent, original cause of causes. Other than Him, nothing qualifies as a cause. And so detachment isn't abandoning the dunya, it's just not deeming causes as independent. Only Allah causes independently. So, in summary, dua is not simple. It can't be acquired in a night. We say it's Laylatul Qadr, let's do our dua until night, and no. You see, the two prerequisites that we mentioned, it requires maybe a year of practice so that your calling is a true calling. And then for 1 year, we only choose one day, Laylatul Qadr, and we do all the calling that is possible for 5 or 6 hours. But we see no change. It's not as simple as that. But if you are a caller, if you succeed as a caller, and you call Him alone, you will be answered. Even if you are Iblis, you will be answered. Shaitan. Qala anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Iblis said, oh Allah, just postpone for me. Give me a bit of breathing space. Give me a respite. A period of reprieval. Just give me some breathing space until the day that they are resurrected. He's calling. He's a true caller, and he's only calling Allah. He's speaking with Allah. How many people have spoken with Allah? It's certainly possible. Iblis is doing it. Allah then replies, قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْتَرِيدِ. You are of the reprieved. وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّارِ. Even with Iblis. Iblis has to be understood here. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll speak about that. وَسَلَّمُ اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ